Praise the Lord Jesus. Glory be to God. Father, we thank you this morning. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, the joy of the Lord. That is our strength. Thank you for the wonderful testimonies. Edifying one another. That is what fellowship is all about. Edifying one another in the Lord. Thank you, Father. We worship and we adore you for the joy of the Lord. Well, thank you for the age we are living in, Lord. Thank you for your promises for this age, Lord. You predestined us to live in this age. And Lord, you have reserved the best for the later. They, without us, cannot be even made perfect. Those who are gone, thank God for the wonderful things you did in their lives. But the best is at the end. And we are living at the end of the age. We thank you for the fellowship this morning, Lord. And as we open the scripture this morning, we trust you to guide us. We trust you to expand it to us. We trust you to give us understanding more than we ever knew before. Lord, to the glory of your name. Father, thank you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. This morning, by the grace of God, I want to talk about what I call the tangibility of the spirit. Spiritual things are tangible, and they are even more tangible than physical things. Praise the Lord. We need to bring this age to the biblical understanding of spiritual things. We need to awaken the Christian, you know, of the tangibility of the spirit. Yes, the spirit of God is tangible, actual, and living quantity, if you want. Just as real as electricity. Just as real as any other native force. Yes. Spiritual things are, and yea, indeed, they are even greater, and they are even more real than anything else in the universe. Amen. The spiritual things of the Lord, more real than the physical things you can see around you and so on. That, you know, the Spirit of God is the life principle that stands behind all manifestations of life everywhere. That's right, you know. That's right, you know. So this morning, the tangibility of the spirit. We need to bring more awareness of the tangibility of the spirit of God to the church these last days, lifting up the spiritual standard for the people. The standard has been so lowered in the church today, even the prophet Isaiah commanded a lifting up of the standard. Praise the Lord. Bring spiritual awareness, the awareness of the spirit of God. In Isaiah 62, verse 10, how the Bible says here about lifting up the standard, you know, of the things of the Lord. So he said, Isaiah 62 verse 10, go through the gates, prepare the way of the people. See, cast up the highway, gather out the stones, lift up a standard for the people. Lift up a standard for the people. So it ought to be in this last days, according to the scripture. So let's see now. The scripture teaches that man is triune, you know, and the Bible places the spirit of man above the order, you know, of his beings. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, talking about the tangibility of the spirit now, and beginning from the man himself, man is triune. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God that your whole spirit, see, mention the spirit first, and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Ghost put in that particular order, spirit and soul and body. See, unfortunately, you know, man tends to think of himself in the reverse order. Why? Because they can see the body, can see your hand, can see your feet, right? And they put that first. We are that the spirit of God, I mean, your spirit is of the highest quality indeed, you know? So, tangibility of the spirit. Even your makeup, you know, your spirit is real, you really, you know? And the Bible put it in the right order, spirit, soul, and body. Now, your spirit is the life quantity of you, really. The life principle that gives you action. That's what it is, you know. Not just your mind, but the inbred spirit. God breathed that spirit in you in the beginning. But the inbred spirit of God, the breath that God breathed into man, And that is eternal, amen? That your spirit is eternal, praise the Lord. You know, he is, you know. And tell the actual man, for example, and bury him in the ground. And the worms will beat him up. But not the spirit man, no. Let me get you one scripture right there. To tell you the high quality of your spirit, you know, it is eternal. God breathed into you in the beginning, it's eternal, you know. So, spiritual things are really tangible. Let me give you in Job 19:25, for example. The physical man that you see, that you seem to exalt, I mean, well, we should, because the temple of the Holy Spirit, but even your spirit is the highest quality of your body and so on. In Job 19:25 now, for example, I mean, man can die and so on, and then the one will eat him up, but he can't eat up his spirit. Job 19:25, the old prophet and so on, the patriarch. For I know, he said, that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And look at this. And though after my skin, Job said, worms destroy this body. Can you see it now? Can destroy the body. But yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eye shall behold, and not another. Though my reins be consumed within me. So no matter, he said, even if my worms eat his body when he died, no, not his spirit. Worms can't touch that, amen. That place is eternal. Praise the Lord. And you can go and bring many other scriptures on that, but I'll just leave it right there. So talking about the, you know, the tangibility of the spirit and the spiritual things of the Lord. Few people have any conception of giving that inner man, that your spirit. We don't give him the attention that he needs. We don't give him the honor that he literally deserves and so on and that, you know. So few people have any conception of giving that inner man his proper place, or recognize his divine right to rule and govern the whole being, as the scripture encourages. You see, we don't give that spirit man his proper place to govern your whole being. And yet, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 9:27, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. And you see, who is I? That is the spirit man, amen? The spirit, you know, it's I, meaning Paul says, I keep under my body. That I is referring to his spirit. I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. So he gives the spirit man the recognition that he deserves, you know, the divine right, and sort of that, you know. Now, even in Christianity, you know, being a Christian, how to become a Christian, I can simplify it for us, and sort of that, you know. And the secret of becoming a Christian is simply that you give God the right to come into your life and indwell your entire being. God doesn't, unlike these satanic things and so on, God doesn't force himself on anybody, right? So you give God the right. Praise the Lord. You are a free moral agent. I'm a free moral agent. Praise God. So when you become a Christian, you are giving God the right to come into you, you know, and into your life, and indwell your entire being. You have a spirit before God comes into you. You do. That was in salvation. Yes, you have a spirit, but that was in salvation. Because man fell, right? The real salvation is when the Lord Jesus Christ comes into a man's soul to save him. That is real salvation. Praise the Lord. You know, that is true. So your spirit is born into your, the spirit of the Lord, when you are born again, is born into your nature in saving grace, and you become a partaker of his divine nature. That is the Lord Jesus coming to a Christian's life, and so you become a Christian. I just want to put that one in there, you know, before I go into reading the tangibility of the spirit. And even your makeup like that, you don't see your spirit, you see your body, and men are carried away by the physical body, and you don't pay attention to the spirit man. And you ought to pay attention to him. Like I said, when the Lord came to your life and give you, you know, you become a partaker of his divine nature. His nature is born into your spirit, and you become a partaker of his divine nature. What a blessing. 2 Peter 1:3. Let me read that to you, you know. 2 Peter 1:3. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. That's your calling. Praise the Lord. See? Whereby I give it unto us exceeding great and precious promises, That's why you must read the Bible every day. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, and that by this ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Praise the Lord Jesus, the child of God. Because so you he put into you his divine nature through his word and by the Holy Ghost and some of that, you know. So the Lord, when you become born again, the Lord takes possession of your spirit, your soul, and your body. And salvation, as far as I know, is the most real thing under the heaven. Amen. Amen. Salvation is the most real thing I can ever think of in this universe. Praise the Lord. That God Almighty will come and indwell a person. I don't see anything more greater. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And change that man's nature or woman's nature forever to his own divine nature. It is the greatest things on earth. That's what I know. So when talking about salvation more, so you receive the Lord Jesus Christ. He come into your nature and turn his nature to his own nature. What do you do from there? Then you continue to be in subjection to the Spirit of God from there. Praise the Lord. That's why in Hebrews 12:9, I want to read that. Continue being in subjection to the Spirit of God. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? So he come into us, he takes his abode in us, thereafter we become subject to the Father of spirits, and we walk by his spirit, and we walk as he leads us. Now, many, many people, you know, even Christians and so on, they have this perception that, you know, when they have taken God by faith and received the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they will die, they will go to heaven and live with the Lord. That's all they know. I receive Christ, and then die, and then they go to heaven and live with the Lord. That's true, really. But Christianity is more than that. Praise the Lord. Amen. Christianity is far, far more than that. Lifting up the standard in these last days, as is given to the apostles and the prophets. See, the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ and many other things is getting all the impurity out of your spirit. See, so your spirit is pure while you are living here on earth, and sweet like the Spirit of God. That's what Christianity does to you. It purges your spirit of all the impurity of this life and some of that, you know. And so your spirit is pure, sweet like the Spirit of God. The salvation of the Lord Jesus is getting the impurity out of your mind, so that it is healed, and you have thoughts of God and consciousness of God. The salvation of the Lord is to do that for you when we allow him to do that in our life and so that, you know. So the Lord's salvation, you know, all the dirty, rotten filth are cleansed out of you by the power of God. Now, when he does that for you, you must daily renew your mind, amen, amen, by the word of God. Romans 12, blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. You must continue in God's word to renew you, because, you see, you clean your place today, right? Even if you don't use it, there will be dust gathering on it, right?
Yeah.
That's what you need again. So is the spirit of man. So the Lord has cleansed when you get saved and so on. You must continue to be in subjection. You must renew your mind. Since we come, no, don't let the dust of this life gather upon your spirit. You cleanse it by the word of God. So as in Romans 12, so say beloved, that you know, that say by the mercies of God, I don't have it here, by the mercies of God, you know, I'm pleading with the Christian and so on, that, you know, I present your body a living sacrifice unto God and that, you know. So renew your mind every day by the word of God, you see. So blessed be the name of the Lord. So spiritual things are tangible, better. They are even more tangible than what you can see in the physical. So we see. And what else can we see about the law and the salvation and so on? So the way the Lord Jesus taught salvation is what I'm just telling you right now. You know, it's for the spirit, for the soul, and for the body, for the old man. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
The salvation of the Lord Jesus is take care of man in all his three dimensions: spirit, soul, and body. But what do we see today, you know? They have chopped and narrowed the concept of salvation to what I just told you right now. Accept Christ, then they just die, then they just go to heaven and go and be with the Lord. It's more than that. Praise the Lord. Amen. But more than that. So, and what happened was this. The church fell. from the original principle that God gave when they narrowed the conception of real salvation from that very, very high standard I'm telling you all day long. And they came down to the scale, they came down the scale until it was just squeezing their way to heaven, just to get to heaven. Bang, get to heaven, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
But what about what you do here on earth before it comes? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Salvation is for the old man. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Spiritual things, they are very, very tangible, brethren, are even more tangible, you know, than you know the physical that we see around us. The scripture commands us to lift up the standard for the people that are read before to you, Psalm 62, in these last days. The perception of the Christian, you know, that will open it up to teach all that the Bible has taught, you know, at another time. So, scripture, I want to read some Bible verses to you right now that are so condensed with the truth, so, you know, so powerful truth. And so, I'm going to read about two of them to you right now in Romans 8:2. So, some scriptures containing wonderfully condensed statements, which, in a few words, reveal the greatest spiritual principles. In fact, Romans 8 is one of the, to me, one of the deepest, but you know, Bible chapters right there, and so on. Romans 8:2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
The law, we can spend the whole day on that very verse alone. I'll just leave it. I have things I want to say right now. So now, 1 Corinthians 8:6, you know, condensed truth. Right in that verse, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. In 1 Corinthians 8:6, but to us, there is but one God, the Father. Look at that wonderful verse. Of whom are all things. As a condensed truth in one verse, of whom are all things, and we in Him, meaning in God, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by Him. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Salvation, you know, for the Lord and so on. Complete salvation for the old man and so on. That, you know, wonderful scriptures. Even in Acts 17:28, one of those condensed scriptures and all like that, you know, Acts 17:28. For in Him, meaning Christ, we live and move and have our being. And towards the end of it, for we are also His offspring. Amen. And we can go into that, you know, in I believe in John chapter 15. He is the true vine, and we are the branches. Amen. And in one place, He said, the Father in me, I in you, and you in me. Praise the Lord. Wonderful salvation from the Lord and so that, you know. Let us lift up the standard. And not narrow it down anymore. Let us just take the whole enchilada of God's salvation. Praise the Lord. Now, God, the original, from whose life and nature and character and substance the Lord Jesus Christ, the Creator, made all things. Yes, He made all things. Colossians 1:16. Another scripture I want to read and so on. For by Him, meaning the Lord Jesus, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in heart, visible and invisible. That visible and invisible, you know, it means both spiritual realm and physical realm. And in the spiritual realm, angels are maybe invisible to you, amen, but they are there anyway. Praise the Lord. And in the physical realm, you can see macroscopic things like amoeba and so on. You don't see with your eye, but they are invisible, right? And even more, in the physical realm, you can things can be so far away, like even universes and so on. You don't see them, right? Before there's any telescope, right? Bible is right. Praise the Lord. Both spiritual and physical realm, there are invisible things. There are truths and so on that, you know, they are there and so on. But Christ, the Lord, made them all. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He is wonderful. He is the Most High God. So, what is it now? When we pray, some secrets in here. When we pray, what do? We take of the Spirit as sometimes of Christ, and by our faith form or create our soul's desire, whether it be for holiness or for health. I read it again. So when we are praying, see, a lot of things are into this thing. Pray, even pray to the Lord and so on. Like, what are you doing? You take of the Spirit and sometimes of Christ, and by your faith you form or create your soul's desires, whether it's for holiness or even for health. Do it by the word of God and the spirit of God. Men, by the action of the will, see, take themselves out of the control of the power of the law of sin and death. That's why I read Romans 8:2 to you at that time, as well as you know. By the action of your will and the Holy Spirit and so on, you take yourself out of the control of the power of the law of sin and death, and by the action of your very own will, place yourself continually in union and in touch with the law of the Spirit of life. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Now, you as a Christian, you stand out as the revelation of the divine power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whether you know it or not. As a Christian, you stand out as the revelation of the divine power of our Lord Jesus Christ to do what? To come into the spirit of man. Yes? Buddha can't come to somebody's spirit. Muhammad can't come to somebody's life. Only Christ Jesus. Amen? Praise the Lord. See? Only Him. So, you start the divine power of the Lord Jesus to come into the spirit of man and change it. You are a witness. I'm a witness, right? And make it sweet and lovely like God Himself. You as a Christian also stand as the divine power of the Lord Jesus Christ to come into the mind of man and take possession of all his faculties. Only Christ can do this. And you are a witness, I'm a witness. Praise the Lord. Even furthermore, brother and sister, you stand out as a divine revelation of the power of the Lord Jesus Christ to come into the nature of man and change it by the power of God until your thoughts are pure, holy, and lovely. I have one more. You see, you as a believer, you stand as the revelation of the divine power of the Lord Jesus Christ to come into an old diseased body. I don't care what the sickness is, you know, until God's action revolutionizes every cell of your body. Amen. You can do it. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We must lift up the standard, brethren, according to what the Bible gave us. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We must lift up, as I said, we should lift up the standard. You know, and this is salvation is for the old man, spirit, soul, and body.
Amen.
So, and when the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is applied to a man's nature, what happened? No, spirit, soul, and body, then his sin is forgiven, right? When the sin is forgiven, the effect of the sin should go away too, amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Sin is the cause of all kind of things. When the sin is forgiven, then the effect of sin should be taken away. Now we can now understand Psalm 103. He put them in divine order. You know, who forgiveth all my iniquities? Who healeth all my diseases? When the sin is gone, the effect of sin should go away, right?
Amen.
Even in 1 Peter 2:24, we are told the same thing, the same divine order. Who his own self bear our sin in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. As the prophet said the same thing, and the New Testament said the same thing. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Lifting up the standard for the Christian in the last day, and so that you know the full salvation of the law and the tangibility of the things of the Spirit of God. Now, the power of God's Spirit this morning, and you young people in the Lord, and so the power of God's Spirit will do for you what it has done for anyone else in the world. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We must lift all the standard, and I read again, the power of God's Spirit will do for you what He has done for anyone else in the world. What said the scripture in Acts 10, out of Cornelius, Acts 10:34, just part of the verse, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Amen. Can you imagine? Even the Jews that followed Brother Peter, even Peter was surprised that the Gentiles should receive the Holy Ghost. What? Praise the Lord. I like what he said. Who am I to withstand God? Amen. Praise the Lord. I say, who am I to withstand God? You know? So, God will do for you. No matter what spiritual, supernatural thing you see in the Bible, God can do it for you. Amen.
Amen.
If there's a divine purpose behind that need, it shall be fulfilled. God is no respecter of man. The next verse says, but in every nation, he that feareth him and walketh righteousness is accepted with him. So the point is, God will do for even the country music people, they sing this kind of song, amen. What he has done for others, he will do for you, amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I believe the people get that song, I think they are coming from the Bible view of viewpoint, you know. I know that. So, amen. Reach on out to the Lord, whatever you want. Spiritually speaking, there is no spiritual gift that God promised that you can't receive. In fact, desire spiritual gifts. Amen. The Bible said, amen. So it's there for you and me and so that, you know. Now, but the thing is it, though he will do it for you, but you must come to God with earnestness. Amen. That is the condition. Amen. You must come to God with earnestness and sincerity and faith and lay hold on that promise. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Yeah.
That's the only condition, because in Hebrews 11:6, no, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. One time, one leper came to him, the Lord. He said, the Lord will tell you, believe that I can do this, amen. Do you believe that I can do it? Yeah, Lord, I believe. Then the man got to the miracle, amen. Praise the Lord. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. That is a rewarder of them that are diligently seeking. So he will do for you what he has done for anybody at all. The condition is you must come to God with earnestness and sincerity and faith and lay hold on that promise is yours. So today we all enjoy all kind of technology, right? We enjoy electricity, right? Today we do. And it gives light, you know. And it gives light to us and something like that, you know. And not only that, it powers your cell phone, it powers the batteries, electricity too, it powers so many things, and we are enjoying it today. Well, how did it come into being? It came into being because a man by the name of Benjamin Franklin believed there was electricity. He had to first of all believe there was electricity, right? He believed it, that there was electricity. Then he had a conception that if it was real and tangible, he believed it was real and tangible and can be heard, can be handled. He believed it. Talking about tangibility of the spirit, right? And comparing natural things right now. So that man believed that electricity, that it is real, he can handle it, he can store it. And he went about to do something. So he believed he could even botch electricity and so on. And you know the story in elementary physics, right? One day, he just got a string, put a kite in it in a rainy day, and tied a key to it, right? And he went in out there and so forth. He was able to, he believed that electricity, right? He believed it. And from the key, was able to draw his spark. He believed lightning and electricity are the same thing. Praise the Lord. Talking about tangibility, right? He didn't see it, but just believe it. And today, the whole creation, I enjoy electricity and so on. People now do so much research, and there is hardly anything you can handle today without using electricity. Praise the Lord. Your wristwatch, everything they are, whether it's battery or something like that, they are electricity breathing. Praise the Lord. So that is the physical realm, right? The same thing in the spiritual realm too, you know. You have to believe. You have to believe as a Christian. To read God's word, to discover all that God has in store for you through his word and apply or appropriate them. So Franklin believed that electricity and so on, that electricity as lightning, and he went after it. And look at what is enjoying today, you know, and so on that, you know. I always said it. God has put all these things in nature before. He allows man to discover them and use it for his own, to his own advantage and so on. So the Lord Jesus in the same way came to reveal the laws of the Spirit and to apply them. That's one of the things the Lord came to do. He came to reveal the laws of the Spirit and to apply them. In the heart of God, brethren, there is a dynamic, a power which is great enough to save every man in this world. Amen?
Amen.
There is the power, you know, it's available and so on that, you know. But again, they must honestly seek the Lord. They have to accept it, amen. They have to accept it. Praise the Lord. You know. And another thing is that in the heart of God, there's also a dynamic, you know, a great power which is great enough to heal every sick person on this planet today. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The point is they must accept it. That's God's condition. Praise God. Believe that I can do this. They believe it is there for the taking. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So the same thing. And they must accept it. So God, it will be there as well. So in let us look at some things in the Bible. Spiritual things are very tangible. I want to talk about Elijah the prophet and supernatural transportation. We must live all the standard of what God expects of us in these last days. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's look at some tangible things. They look intangible, they are tangible. Elijah and the supernatural transportation. You all know the story of him. I want to read just one verse and so on. To bring spiritual awareness, lifting up this generation with the biblical pattern and standard. So there were some in the Old Testament really that were more intelligent about spiritual laws than this generation. Can you see that? The sons of the prophets, they were acquainted with some spiritual laws. They believed that that such a thing as transportation, automatic thing, that happened to Elijah. Tell an ordinary man today, they won't even believe and so on. But in the days of Elijah the prophet, even ordinary sons of the prophets, they believe. Let's see First Kings 2:16 and so on. You know? They believe in this and so on, and it happened right before them and so on. That, you know, the thing you will tell an average maybe believer today, they won't even believe it. We must lift the standard up to the Bible standard. So the sons of the prophets, for example, they were so intelligent about spiritual things and laws, and when Elijah was gone to heaven, here is what they told Elisha in 1 Kings 2:16. And they said unto Elisha, meaning Elisha, behold now, there be with the servants 50 strong men. Let them go, we pray thee, and seek thy master. We need to go and seek Elijah. See, they got to heaven already. Let peradventure, the spirit of the Lord has taken him up and cast him upon some mountain or into some valley. And he said no. So they believe that God's spirit is tangible. He can transport, amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Yet today, another Christian can even believe that. He must. But Elisha persuaded them otherwise. He must have told them in verse 11 what happened to Elijah in verse 11, which I can also read right now. Because we are looking for the coming of the Lord. And so that, you know, 2 Kings 2:11. 2 Kings 2, he said that. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder.
Yes.
It's the second king. Sorry about that. Second king. So 2:11. And parted them asunder, you know. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he said, or cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. Bible says, and he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them into pieces. What I'm saying is this. So these sons of the prophets, they knew about spiritual things, that there could be transportation, that God's spirit can transport, people and so on, even with truth. Elijah told them that, look, he has gone to heaven and so on. But the thing is this, they were intelligent by spiritual things that God's spirit can transport. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's the point. And do you know Elisha? I always like him for many things. Ever since that time, he got acquainted with those spiritual, tangible chariot of fire. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Tangibility of the spirit. And the horses of fire, he got acquainted with them. Even in all of his ministry. And another example is when the king of Syria sent his army to capture him, because he was a seer, praise the Lord. And Syria being the arch enemy of Israel, they always reach other throats, especially the Syrians, to tomorrow, and so on like that, you know. So whatever move they make in Israel, God will give it to the seer, and the seer will tell the king of Israel, until came a time, look, the king of Syria, must be a spy in my own country that spy for the Jews, rather than no. No, sir. There is a prophet called by Elisha, the son of the Shaphat, you know. Whatever you do in your country, you can see from his room, you know, and so like that, you know. Praise the Lord. In so many words, you know. And then, the only thing to do is to go get him. Go get the prophet and so like that, you know. Anyway, so talking about spiritual things, right? So he sent his army to go and get Elisha the prophet in 2 Kings 6:14, talking about he gets acquainted with this chariot. He was living in two worlds, amen. Praise the Lord. And the child of God can do that too, you know. Anyway, 2 Kings 6:14. Therefore sent he, meaning the king of Syria, Hittite, horses, and chariots, and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. Talking about all these supernatural things, they look unseen, but they are tangible. He sent physical horses, right? And he sends physical chariots. Let's see if God has spiritual chariots. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anyway, verse 15. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early, can you imagine? Woke up early in the morning and come forth. Behold, an host compassed the city, and both with horses and chariots. And the servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? What are we going to do now? Hear what the man of God said. And he answered, hear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Man living to a spiritual thing that tangible. They are real, more real than the physical and so on. Now, verse 17 says, and Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes, that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountains was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Praise the Lord. Spiritual things are tangible. God's spiritual things are very, very tangible. They are even more real than some of that, you know, than the physical things are some of that, you know. So, and I was saying that what God has done for, has done for any man in the Bible, he can do for you if need be, you know, and so on and that, you know. So I want to expand that thought right now. So you and I today, David, saw by the Spirit of God, not only Elisha can be surrounded by the host of the Lord, you as a believer in Psalm 34 verse 7, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivered them. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And I think you are alone, or only Elisha, the prophet can be surrounded by the shadows of fire and so on. No, in Hebrews 12, you as a Christian, see what God says about you right now. In Hebrews 12, the 22nd verse, but ye, the believer, are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. Amen. Praise the Lord. See, the believer and so on. The angel of the Lord encamp around you and so on. And we are come to the company of innumerable company of angels. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn. Just want to read that verse. It's so beautiful. Which are written in heaven. And to God, the judge of all. And to the spirit of just men made perfect. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. And to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. So you see, not only Elisha and so on, you know, but even you as a believer, we are calling to the innumerable company of angels. He has given his angel charge over you to keep you in all your ways. Amen. Praise God. So that's what I'm trying to bring out right now. So spiritual thing, you will not see that angel. You won't see him, but it's there anyway. Amen. Praise the Lord. He comes around you according to the word of the Lord, the tangibility of the Spirit of God and all that, you know. Now, let's see more things about Elisha, about the tangibility of the Spirit of God. It's tangible, it's actual, it's more real. The unseen actually created the seen. Praise the Lord. Now, in 2 Kings 13, another thought about Elisha, the prophet, and the tangibility of the Spirit of God. You know, so the Lord let him pass away, and he died, and he was buried. But here, a little story clip about him right here. In verse 20 of 2 Kings 13. And Elisha died, and he buried him. And the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming in of the year. And it came to pass, as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men, and they cast the man into the sepulchre of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet. Amen?
Amen.
Right tangibility of the Spirit of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Even the bones of Elisha were saturated with the power of the Spirit of God. Amen. He did not have died, but there's no need for God keeping him here. So God let him come home. Amen. But in him, he had resurrection power. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
The tangibility of the Spirit of the living God. Yes, the Spirit of God our spiritual things are very, very tangible, brethren. We want to get acquainted with these things and lift up the standard of Christian experience to the biblical standard that you are given, the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You have to understand this and to be in expectation. No miracle can be without expectation. Praise the Lord. That's why we are bringing this out and so that, you know. Well, talking about transportation, right? The Lord did not limit the experience of supernatural transportation to the Old Testament saints. No. Even in the New Testament, there was such a thing as transportation also. No, no, Philip the evangelist, right? He was supernaturally transported away after ministering to the Ethiopian eunuch. In Acts 8:39, I read that verse. See? So don't think it's only Elijah that was transported. The Lord Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise the Lord. We do for any people, any generation, any know that where there is a need for it, divine purpose behind it, it will be done. So in Acts 8:39, and when they were come up out of the water, meaning himself, Philip, the evangelist, and the Ethiopian, who was baptizing, the Spirit of the Lord caught up away Philip. See, God's Spirit is tangible. Praise the Lord. Tangibility. The Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the Enoch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea, the Bible said. So it happened there. At one time, the Lord himself, the boat, and the disciples were transported all of a sudden. Praise the Lord. Supernatural and the tangibility of the Spirit. In John, the 6th chapter, not only the disciples, even the Lord himself was in the boat, and the boat were transported. In John 6:18, I want to read that one really quickly. See? And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So, when they had rowed about 20 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship. And they were afraid. But he said unto them, "It is I, be not afraid." Then they willingly received him into the ship. And immediately the Bible said, the ship was at the land whither they went. Praise the Lord Jesus. Oh. Reading between the lines, that is a transportation idea. So the Bible said, immediately, look at how many followers they were from the land. And yet immediately, you know, they were on the other side. And the Bible tells us to and so that, you know. So now, to talk about transportation and so on, as naturally and so on. In our time, back, I told here of one brother. It was reported, I believe the report, you know. Back, he was born in Lima, Peru, about 1579. His name was Porres. Du Porres was his name, and so on that, you know. I'm just showing us the tangibility of the Spirit of God in different realms. Now, in teletransportation and so on, how God can transport the gospel, can transport people depending on divine need and divine purpose and so on. This brother was called, they were seen in different cities. At that time, there was no aeroplane that time, in 1759, I believe it is, there was no aeroplane, yet we appear in different cities and so on, you know. And people reported, it was reported to be found in different countries at times, far from his native country, Lima, and was given the nickname Flying Brother. It happened in history. He was reported to have made instantaneous translation flights to a number of countries where he was authentically seen by those who knew him. Some of these space flights, they call it, were reported to bless some of those, to bless a lot of people in Mexico, in Philippines, in China, and even Japan, back in 1759 area. You know, how do they get the answer to that, you know? And some of those who are blessed were those who are in institutions, the less privileged, and then people are in great debt here. Why? You see, look at all the cases where this thing happened. You see, Philip the evangelist, he had been preaching, right? And why we got transporting him? Because he had a great journey to make, and God just helped him and transported him. And look at the Philip, right, and that and so on. How about the disciples and the boat, right? Why will God? They have been rowing, struggling with the storm, right? God can kind of come in there to the Lord came in there to help them in it and were transported. So this man, I believe his testimony too. He was helping, he was helping the afflicted. People were institutionalized all over the place, and there was a need for it. Praise God. So what I'm pointing out is, God does things where there is a need for it. Praise the Lord. Now, so we have to open this thing up to ourselves, the infinite possibilities of faith and the promises of God, so that our faith can grow when there's a need. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's why I'm saying all these things and so on, that, So now, with all this witness of supernatural transportation in Scripture, I put here, we count it not incredible that God, in this day we are living in, can do the same for us. Amen? That is the point I'm making, the same thing for us. In this age, as the Lord sees fit, when there is a divine purpose for it, I want to emphasize that. So, we don't just say because he did it for Philip and so on, he did it because there was a divine purpose. And when you know these things, and as a divine need and purpose, half an open mind can do it for you and I too. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, let's close with this tangibility of the Spirit in the realm of divine healing. Praise the Lord. I close from there, so let's see. The woman with the issue of blood, see, God's Spirit is tangible, is actual, is even more real. He created all things, as well as The woman with the issue of blood in Luke 8:43. I'll read one or two verses. I can read about three or four verses just to bring it home, so I don't have to talk too much. So in Luke 8:43, and a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which hath spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. Can you see the human limitation? We thank God for the medical people, nothing to be taken away from them. But this woman has gone through all the best experts, of her day, and spent all her living, Bible says, and they couldn't heal him. They gave him up to die, really. That's what it is today. They just gave him up, gave her up. Praise the Lord. See? Verse 44 said, he came behind the Lord and touched the border of his garment. And immediately, I like that word, immediately, an issue of blood was, can I see that boat? Immediately was on the other side, right? The same thing right now. When she touched the border of the Lord's garment, immediately the issue of blood touched, And Jesus said, who touched me? When they all denied it, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude thronged thee and praised thee, and said thou, who touches me? And Jesus said, I know what I'm talking about, son. Somebody has touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. Amen. Praise the Lord. God's eternal spirit is tangible, is quantifying, and so I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. And of course, and when the woman saw that she was not healed, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, Daughter, be of good comfort, that faith has made it all. Go in peace. So bringing out some of the miraculous. See, just touching the garments of the Lord. His garments were so saturated with the Spirit of God that what Fisher can do immediately, she was made whole. We have to bring this these powerful things out of the Scripture that's available to God's children today. You will think in the Bible that she was the only one that was healed that way in the Lord's ministry. No. Even there are many, many others who were healed that way in the Bible. Let me give you a verse of Scripture right now. Not an accident. There are many others who are healed the same way. In Mark 6:56, here the Bible says, and whithersoever he entered, meaning the Lord, into villages or cities or countries, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment. And look at what happened. And as many as touched him were made whole. Praise the Lord. Wonderful tangibility of the Spirit of God. The Lord said, if I cast out devil by the Spirit of God, the kingdom of God is among you. Praise the Lord. By the Spirit of the Lord, no. See, they were healed. Now, even the apostles, bringing the tangibility of the Spirit to the realm of divine healing right now, what I'm talking about right now, we see the supernatural transportation. How about divine healing? In Acts 19, handkerchiefs or aprons embedded by the Spirit of God healed the sick and cast devils out in the days of Paul the Apostle. Acts 19:11. See? And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. See, aprons as well, embedded by the Spirit of God that was in Paul. Send them out. He couldn't, why? Not for sure. He could only get to certain places only. So where I couldn't get to, he sent out aprons, amen? After I pray over them, praise the Lord. And in our age, it has happened too. We have all witnessed it and so on. Prophets and God has said and so on. Send prayer cloths out. Many envelope and so on, even back in Nigeria, from here to Nigeria, many were healed, amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So what he has done for others, he will do for you as far as the divine purpose in it, you know? This is our eye-opener to all. You never know. You can go to anywhere, witnessing and so on, that you know, and you'll be sick far away, and if there's a need to, God can do these things and so on. It's happening in our day. So blessed be the name of the Lord. It's just opening our eyes and lifting up the standard, you know, and so on, that you know. So even with the early church, we finish up now, the shadow of Peter, he was so anointed of the Spirit of God in Acts 5:14. Let me just read one verse. Even the shadow of Peter, you know, and healing the sick and so on, Acts 5:14. And the believers were the more added to the Lord. Multitudes, both of men and women. In so much that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. You know, verse 16 says, there came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing the sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits. Look at what happened. And they were healed, everyone. Praise the Lord. Precedence, you know, divine precedence for every one of us. How can Peter pray for all of those people? Praise the Lord. So, but there was a divine purpose. Even its very shadow, the Holy Ghost and so on, that, you know, healing and mass healing and so on, that everyone was healed. So I'm just saying this thing. Let me, maybe I can explain to us the mystery of the laying on of hands. Amen. So overlook those things today. Yeah, these are the things. Bible says, living the principles of the doctrine, even one of the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. That is in Hebrews 11. I won't go there. But let me see now, quickly now. We can now see the mystery behind the laying on of hands, the tangibility of the Spirit of God. You know, let's quickly look. Even in the commission, the Great Commission, these things have to be brought, lift up the standard. Let us go back to the Bible standard. We get the same results, you know. So, healing the sick, laying on of hands. You know, so in Mark 16. Mark 16, verse 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, verse 18 says, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So we see the tangibility of the Spirit of God doing healing as well by the laying on of hands. Even by the laying on of hands, we see brings about the baptism of the Holy Ghost in many places in the Bible. Let me read that one to you right now, you see. You know, and in Acts 8:14. Now, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were called down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was falling upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Verse 17 says, then lay they their hands on them, and they receive the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. I just bring it out some truth here about laying on of hands, the tangibility of the Spirit, the mystery behind laying on of hands, just in a nutshell. Even in Acts 19:6, we are also told, And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Verse 7 says, and all the men were about 12. Even the laying on of hands can bring about the impartation of spiritual gifts. You know, it can't be the Bible, according to the Bible. Laying on of hands can bring about the impartation of spiritual gifts. In 2 Timothy 1, verse 6, these are the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And we have to lift up the standard for these last days. You know, and so that, you know. 2 Timothy 1, 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance. I'm closing from there. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee. How? By the putting on of my hands. See? Laying on of hands can lead to the impartation of spiritual gifts. Last scripture here in 1 Timothy 4:14. Neglect not this gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, first of all, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. That means the elders, if you want, you know. The elders lay hands and so on, that, you know, of the church and so on. And many, you know, did receive, you know, spiritual gifts and so on, that, you know. So this morning, just, you know, opening and put us in remembrance, if you will, and how, you know, God's spiritual things are tangible, even more tangible than the material that we see around us and so on, that, you know. And to lift up this, to expect from the Lord all these things depending on your need and my need and so on, that, you know, and not to limit the Holy One of Israel. And to know the things which are freely given unto us, the church of the living God. That's why we bring this viewpoint out this morning. God's, when the king of Syria thought he can bring God chariots and so on, that, you know, God has his own spiritual chariots. Amen. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. We joy, O Lord God, in the things of the Lord. These things have been freely given unto the body, to the body of Christ, the church. And we know, O Lord God, these things are ours today in Christ Jesus, as we walk close, you know, with the Lord, and to get, you know, and to get our eyes on this gospel. We believe is the gospel of the supernatural, and nothing less than that. So this day, as we have read this great examples, that we get more acquainted with the spirit of the Lord and the infinite possibilities of what he can do in our life and in the life of others and in the ministry which he has given to every one of us. So Lord, thank you for the enlightenment, you know, by the Holy Spirit out of your word this morning. As we go, he will expand these thoughts more and more to us in our individual lives, Lord. Lord, the pattern that you laid down in the Bible for your people at the end of time, you know, the apostles, the prophets, and even the Lord himself, this pattern, let it be restored to the church holily in the name of the Lord Jesus. There are little more needs today, Lord, than there were any time in the history of the world, whether it's for mass evangelism, whether it is for healing of the body of Christ. Lord, there is even more need right now. And Lord, there is, like we said, a dynamic power, oh Lord, in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the power of God, to heal every sick person in this world today, if only they will accept it. Guide us, Lord. Lead us, oh Lord, to where the needs are, Lord. Lead us by your Spirit, Lord, that we may be able to manifest, say, by stretching forth your hand to heal. In our witnessing, Lord, even the apostles had to pray this way, by stretching forth your hands to heal, that signs and wonders may be wrought by the hand of thy holy child Jesus. We need it in this last day. If it was needed in the early church, how can the church do it without it in these last days? So therefore, that's our prayer this morning, Lord. No? We are bringing up this standard as we be aware of them, Lord. And as we pray to lead us to souls, this time we also accomplish the ministry as we close out the age. We thank you for blessing us, Lord. Always a delight just to even read the scriptures, to see what the Lord has said, and you will bless us even the more as we go out of there this morning. Father, we thank you and we glorify thy name. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. So we give room for prayer requests, so that we don't want to leave out with, if you have a prayer request,